Silver stars fly over a blanket of clouds and a snow-capped mountain peak, then encircle the word Paramount, written in italics. Paramount, a Viacom company. A wave crashes against a rock in a bay. Bright sunlight shines through clouds. Mountains give way to dense trees. A bell tower rises above the trees. The Montecito Picture Company. Fluffy white clouds float in a blue sky. Way down below is the ever-changing landscape of the United States of America. Lush mountains, densely packed cities, and vast patchworks of fields.
This land is your land. This land is my land.
Paramount Pictures presents in association with Cold Spring Pictures and DW Studios. A Montecito Picture Company production, in association with Rickshaw Productions, in association with Right of Way Films, a Jason Reitman film, George Clooney, Up in the Air. The screen splits, more aerial views, a coastal city, a freeway cutting across lush green parkland, a meandering river. Vera Farmiga, Anna Kendrick, Jason Bateman, Danny McBride, Melanie Linsky, Amy Morton, Sam Elliott, J.K. Simmons, Zach Galifianakis, Chris Lowell.
This land was made for you and me.
Circular fields spread across the land, snow-capped mountains, a jagged rocky coastline. Casting by Mindy Marin, CSA. Music by Rolf Kent. Music supervisors Randall Poster, Rick Clark. Costume designer Danny Glicker. Film editor Dana E. Glauberman, ACE. Production designer Steve Sackler. Director of photography Eric Steelberg. Executive producers Ted Griffin, Michael Biuk, Tom Pollock, Joe Medjuk. Produced by Daniel Dabiecki, Jeffrey Clifford, Ivan Reitman, Jason Reitman. A jet comes into land on a runway. Based upon the novel by Walter Kern. Screenplay written by Jason Reitman and Sheldon Turner. Directed by Jason Reitman. A thick-set man wearing a suit.
This is what I get in return for 30 years of service for my company. And they send some yo-yo like you in here. They try to tell me that I'm out of a job. They should be telling you you're out of a job.
You have a lot of gall coming in here and firing your number one producer, and then you're going to go home tomorrow and make more money than you've ever made in your life, and I'm going to go home without a paycheck. Fuck you.
I guess you leave me dumbfounded. I don't know where this is coming from. How am I supposed to go back as a man and explain this to my wife that I lost my job?
On a stress level, I've heard that losing a job is like a death in the family. But personally, I feel more like the people I worked with were my family, and I died.
I can't afford to be unemployed. I have a house payment. I have children.
I don't know how you can live with yourself, but I'm sure that you'll find a way while the rest of us are suffering.
Who the fuck are you, man?
Excellent question. Who the fuck am I? Poor Steve has worked here for 7 years. He's never had a meeting with me before, or passed me in the hall, or told me a story in the break room. And that's because I don't work here. I work for another company that lends me out to pussies like Steve's boss, who don't have the balls to sack their own employees, and in some cases for good reason, because people do crazy shit when they get fired.
Steve clears a table, shreds documents, pours bleach in a coffee jar, and aims a rifle at the office.
Did I do something wrong? I mean, is there something I can do differently here?
This is not an assessment of your productivity. You gotta try not to take this personally. Steven, I want you to review this packet. Take it seriously. I think you're gonna find a lot of good answers in here.
I'm sure this is gonna be very helpful. A packet. Thank you. Packet.
Well, anybody who ever built an empire or changed the world sat where you are right now. And it's because they sat there they were able to do it. That's the truth.
Ryan Bingham, a suavely suited man in his late 40s with neat graying hair and a side parting.
going to need your key card.
Steve hands over his key card.
Great. Okay. Now, would you take the day, go get together your personal things, and then tomorrow, you get yourself some exercise. You go out for a jog, you give yourself some routines, and pretty soon you find your legs.
At the door.
How do I get in touch with you?
Don't worry, we'll be in touch with you soon. This is just the beginning. I'll never see Steve again.
In a hotel room, Ryan packs a suitcase with military precision. He studies a pouch full of ties, closes it, and puts it in the case. He zips up the suitcase, pulls out its handle, and drags it out of the room, switching off the light as he goes. At an airport, Ryan drops off a rental car.
To know me is to fly with me. This is where I live.
He walks up to the first class priority access desk.
When I run my card, the system automatically prompts the desk clerk to greet me with this exact statement.
Pleasure to see you again, Mr. Bingham.
It's these kinds of systemized friendly touches that keep my world in orbit.
Ryan grabs his boarding pass and walks up to the security desk, where he shows the pass to a security guard. Ryan puts his case on a table and grabs two gray plastic trays. He then puts his laptop, his shoes, and his suit jacket into the trays. He steps up to the walk-through metal detector, holds up his boarding pass, and walks through. A uniformed security man checks the pass. Ryan puts his jacket and shoes back on, zips up his case, pulls out the handle, and walks off with it.
All the things you probably hate about traveling, the recycled air, the artificial lighting, the digital juice dispensers, the cheap sushi, are warm reminders that I'm home.
A jet flies above a blanket of fluffy white clouds. Ryan sits in first class. He watches a flight attendant walk down the aisle pushing a trolley. She hands a passenger a drink.
Do you want the cancer?
Ryan looks up at her, frowning.
The what?
Do you want the cancer?
The cancer.
The can, sir?
Oh, no, I'm fine, thank you.
She puts the can of soda back on the trolley and walks on. Ryan smiles. The jet comes into land. In a hotel lobby, a sign with a picture of Ryan on it reads, "Appearing in the Vista Room, 5:30 p.m. Ryan Bingham, what's in your backpack?" Ryan unzips a backpack and stands behind a lectern. A few delegates sit at long tables.
How much does your life weigh? Imagine for a second that you're carrying a backpack. I want you to feel the straps on your shoulders. You feel them? I want you to pack it with all the stuff that you have in your life. You start with the little things, the things on shelves and the drawers and the knickknacks, the collectibles. Feel the weight as that adds up. And you start adding larger stuff. Clothes, tabletop appliances, lamps, linens, your TV. Backpack should be getting pretty heavy now. You go bigger. Your couch, bed, your kitchen table. You stuff it all in there. Your car, get it in there. Your home. Whether it's a studio apartment or a two-bedroom house, I want you to stuff it all into that backpack. Now try to walk. It's kind of hard, isn't it? This is what we do to ourselves on a daily basis. We weigh ourselves down until we can't even move. And make no mistake, moving is living. Now, I'm going to set that backpack on fire. What do you want to take out of it? Photos? Photos are for people who can't remember. Drink some ginkgo and let the photos burn. In fact, let everything burn and imagine waking up tomorrow with nothing.
He smiles.
It's kind of exhilarating, isn't it?
At the airport, Ryan walks up to a desk with a sign beside it. Admiral's Club. He shows a card.
Welcome back, Mr. Bingham.
He drags his case into a lounge and sits in a leather armchair. He looks at a piece of paper and makes a phone call.
Ryan Bingham's office.
You'd be in a Dodge Stratus in Kansas City.
They're completely out of all full-size sedans.
Did you try to...
Yes, I reminded them of your remarkable number one Gold Club status in years in the program. They are literally moving mountains to see you in a Sebring.
Fair enough. Any other messages?
Your sister Kara called. Needs to speak urgently about your sister's wedding. I told her you were midair and not even I knew your final destination.
Well done.
And you got an invitation to speak at Gold Quest in Vegas.
Ryan looks surprised.
Gold Quest 20? Every once in a while, I do speaking engagements, motivational kind of stuff. But Gold Quest, we're talking major Tony Robbins shit.
It's got a hologram on it. They're calling it Dos Equis.
All right, I'll check in.
But hold on, I've got Craig Gregory for you.
Wait, no. Fuck. How was my little road warrior?
Hey.
20 minutes from boarding into a world of bliss.
Real good numbers out of Phoenix, right, guy? And you know that Big Auto's about to cut another 10K before the end of the month?
No kidding.
Yeah. Christmas came early. I wish I could have you in about five places at once, but I do need you back here in Omaha by the end of the week, all right?
I thought you needed me everywhere.
Yeah, well, you know, we got something real big here, real game changer.
What are we talking about here?
You'll see. Today, I took my first crap in 2 weeks. Hallelujah.
That's me hanging up on you.
Great. Love that sound.
Dallas at night, a vast city of lights. At the airport, an American Airlines jet taxis. At the Hilton, Ryan sits in the low-lit bar, savoring a cool drink. He watches a young woman who's staring at her cell phone. In her other hand is a set of car keys.
You satisfied with Maestro?
She looks at her key fob.
Yeah, I am.
A little stingy with their miles. I like Hertz.
Hertz keeps its vehicles too long. If a car has over 20,000 miles, I won't drive it.
Maestro doesn't instant checkout. I like to park and go.
Hertz doesn't guarantee navigation.
It's funny, you don't seem like a girl who needs directions.
I hate asking for directions. That's why I get an app.
That new outfit, Colonial, isn't bad.
She's incredulous.
Is that a joke?
Yes.
Because their kiosk placement blows.
Yeah, they never have available upgrades.
Basically, it's a fleet of shit boxes. I don't know how they're still in business.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Alex.
They sit comparing loyalty cards.
Oh, Maplewood card. How dare you bring that into this palace?
Hilton offers equal value and better food, but the Maplewood gives out more cookies at check-in.
Well, they got you with a cookie.
I'm a sucker for simulated hospitality.
Yeah, there's an industry term for that. It's a mixture of faux and homey. Foamy.
Oh, my God. I wasn't sure these actually existed. This is the American Airlines...
Yeah, it's a concierge key, yeah.
She stares at the card.
What is that? Carbon fiber?
Graphite.
Oh, God, I love the weight.
I was pretty excited the day that bad boy came in.
Yeah, I'll say. I put up pretty pedestrian numbers. Like 60,000 a year domestic.
It's not bad.
Don't patronize me. What's your total?
That's a personal question.
Oh, please.
No, we hardly know each other.
Oh, come on, show some hubris. Come on, impress me. Oh, I bet it's huge.
You have no idea.
Ah, how big? What is it, this big? This big?
I don't want to brag.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Let's just say I have a number in mind. I haven't hit it yet.
Alex's eyes sparkle and she studies the concierge key.
This is pretty fucking sexy.
Hope it doesn't cheapen our relationship.
We're two people who get turned on by elite status. I think cheap is our starting point.
There's nothing cheap about loyalty.
Alex smiles thoughtfully.
So, we came up with this master plan, which was for me to put gauze, to put bandages on both my hands. And then we got onto the plane, transatlantic, flying to Zurich. Walked up, waited until it was dark, and walked up to the bathroom with her. Everybody was watching the movie, and I was like, opened up, went inside. She opened the door for me and came in like she was going to help me. And then, you know, we gave it our best shot. It wasn't great, but it was fun. It was tricky.
It's give me some hard. Details.
Well, it's not so easy. Have you ever tried it? It's not so easy.
Yes, I have.
Really?
Really.
Ryan smiles.
You've done that?
I have done that.
On a transatlantic flight?
Yeah, on a domestic flight. Yeah, regional, actually.
Hmm. Like nighttime?
No, like daytime. What?
How do you do that?
Oh, I'm really flexible.
They head to a room. Alex is an attractive woman with long, straight, auburn hair.
What? Oh.
He tries a swipe card in a door, but it doesn't open.
Ah, I should throw these out.
He tries another.
We can always use that room with the ice machine.
Here, look.
He opens the door with another card and they go in. Alex, in her 30s with a curvaceous figure, walks across the room naked apart from a tie around her waist. She lies on the bed. The sheets are unruffled. Ryan's lying on cushions on the floor.
Good call on that towel rack.
I like how you burritoed me in the sofa cushions.
I was improvising.
Shame we didn't make it to the closet.
We gotta do this again.
Oh, yeah.
Alex and Ryan sit facing each other and open their laptop computers.
All right, I'm in Newark on the 12th, Modesto on the 13th, Oklahoma City on the 15th.
Any Southwest? I'll be swinging by Albuquerque week of the 16th.
No, but I'll be in Florida on the 20th.
Fort Lauderdale?
Miami.
That's nothing.
40 minutes.
They both type an entry and close their computers.
I should probably go back to my room so I can wake up in my bed.
I think that would be the ladylike thing to do.
Ryan stands by as Alex opens her hotel room door. She turns to him and they kiss.
Nice meeting you.
Pleasure.
They smile and she goes inside. She closes the door and he hangs a sign on the handle. Ryan swims in the hotel swimming pool. He has his shoes shined and hires a car. Hertz employees swipe his loyalty card through card reading machines. In a gent's outfit, as Ryan looks at ties, he takes out his cell phone and looks at the display.
Hello.
Hey, Ryan, how you holding up?
Every family has the one person who keeps the genealogy in check. That's my sister, Kara, the glue. Fine. You and the kids?
Missy's outstanding. Matthew made varsity. How's the road?
Couldn't be better.
Good. So, Ryan?
Yeah?
I didn't even want to have to ask you this because I know how you are about doing things for others, but we're coming up on 3 weeks to go to Julie's wedding, and there's something we could really use your help on.
Yeah?
We've been sending people these kits so they can print out photos of Julie and Jim on cardboard and then take photos of them in interesting places, kind of like that gnome in the French movie.
Why?
Because it's Julie's wedding and she thinks it would be fun. Does it matter why?
How is Julie?
Would you call her? She thinks you've turned to butter. You're awfully isolated the way you live.
Isolated? I'm surrounded.
So your assistant said you were going to be in Vegas.
Did he?
Can you get a photo of the cutout in front of the Luxor Pyramid?
Place is a shithole. Nobody stays there.
Jesus, Ryan, I'm not asking you to check in. Can you just take a stupid photo?
I'll try my best.
Thank you for trying your best.
He glances at a poster for American Airlines with the slogan, "We value your loyalty." Circular fields in various stages of production stretch to the horizon. The fields are green, brown, and muddy yellow. Grid-patterned city streets. Ryan arrives in Omaha.
Last year, I spent 322 days on the road, which means I had to spend 43 miserable days at home.
In his apartment block, Ryan pulls his case along a hall. He lets himself into his small, sparsely furnished apartment. He puts his keys on a worktop, pulls back a brown plastic concertina screen, and lays his case on the bed. A young woman comes in holding a large envelope. She knocks on the worktop.
Hey, neighbor.
Hey. Hi.
Hi. Hey, I signed for this while you're gone.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Wasn't too much of a bother.
Nah.
Ryan takes out a large photo of a hugging couple stuck on a board.
Wow.
It's my sister. I haven't met the guy yet. They're getting married.
Hmm. Lots of luck.
I know, right? What are you doing tonight? You want to come over later?
I've started seeing somebody.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great.
Hey, it's good to see you.
You too.
Seems like it's been a while this time.
She smiles at him fondly and goes. Ryan looks at the photo of the smiling couple. A modern office building. The boss, Craig Gregory, has a meeting with Ryan and his colleagues.
Okay. I'm thrilled that everyone's back under one roof. Welcome home, boys. I know there's been a lot of whispering about why we're here, so let me jump right in. Retailers are down 20%. Auto industry is in the dump. Housing market doesn't have a heartbeat. It is one of the worst times on record for America. This is our moment. Now, last summer, we received a dynamite young woman here from Cornell. And she had some pretty big ideas that she challenged me with, and my first reaction was, who does this kid think that she is? But after I gave it a listen, she really knocked me out. So, with a peek into our future, Natalie Keener.
Prim, ponytailed Natalie stands by a screen.
If there's one word I want to leave you with today, it's this.
Glocal appears on the screen.
Glocal.
Glocal. Our global must become local. This company keeps 23 people on the road at least 250 days a year. It's expensive and it's inefficient. When I came to Craig 3 months ago with this, he told me, and quite astutely, it's only a problem if you have a solution. Well, today I stand before you with just that.
A guy appears on the screen.
You all know Ned in reception? Today I'm gonna fire Ned. Sorry, Ned. I'm sure HR will hire you back this afternoon.
We'll see about that.
Now, Ned could be any employee in any one of our clients' locations worldwide. Strategy packets would be shipped in advance. Ned would be given a seat and find one of our transition specialists waiting for him. Mr. Laskin, the reason we're having this conversation is your position is no longer available.
I don't understand. I'm fired?
Hearing the words you've been let go is never easy. Change is always scary. But consider the following. Anybody who ever built an empire or changed the world sat where you are now. And it's because they sat there that they were able to do it.
My fucking line.
Well, what happens now?
This is the first step of a process that will end with you in a new job that fulfills you.
Yeah, but how does it work?
I want you to take the packet in front of you. Review it. All the answers you're looking for are inside. Start filling out the necessary information, and before you know it, you'll be on your way to new opportunities. Now, Ned, I need you to go back to your desk and start putting together your things. As a favor to me, I'd appreciate it if you didn't spread the news just yet. Panic doesn't help anyone.
I understand.
Give it up for Ned.
Ryan frowns, worried.
You can start the morning in Boston, stop in Dallas over lunch, and finish the day in San Francisco. All for the price of a T1 line. Our inflated travel budget is eviscerated by 85%. And more importantly, to you guys on the road, no more Christmases in a hotel in Tulsa, no more hours lost to weather delays. You get to come home.
Ryan goes to see Craig.
Tell me you're not taking this seriously.
That's why we brought the entire company in from the road, because we're not taking this seriously.
There is a methodology to what I do. There's a reason why it works.
Coke and IBM have been doing this for years, all right? You familiar with them? And just like anything else, you know, it's going to take a few months of sort of transition, and then everybody's going to settle in.
Who are you taking off the road?
How are you not getting this? You're grounded. Everybody's grounded. It's done.
What we do here is brutal, and it does leave people devastated, but there is a dignity to the way I do it.
It's like stabbing them in the chest instead of the back. Is that right?
You wanted to see me?
Well,
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, come on in. Come on in here.
Great job.
Thank you. How's everyone taking it?
Great. Listen, I admire your zeal, and I think you have some very good ideas, but you know nothing about the realities of my industry. You can set up an iChat, but you don't know how people think.
Actually, I minored in psychology.
Nice.
Ryan smiles bitterly.
Okay, kiddo, fire me.
Ryan.
Well, listen, she's going to be doing this on a regular basis. Don't you want to know if she can fire somebody?
She's fired Ned.
My dog can fire Ned. Fire me.
You don't need to do this.
No, it's okay. I got this.
She sits facing Ryan.
Mr. Bingham. I regret to inform you that your position at this company is no longer available.
Who the hell are you?
My name is Miss Keener. I'm here today to discuss your future.
My future? The only one who could fire me is Craig Gregory.
Mr. Gregory hired me to handle this for him.
Handle what? Handle me? Mr. Gregory hired me. He's the only one who could fire me. You know what? I'm going to go talk to him.
Mr. Bingham.
No. You can't follow me. You're on a computer screen, remember?
Ryan.
All right, let's try this again. Fire me again.
I just did.
Actually, you didn't. Fire me.
That's enough. I think we get it.
Mr. Bingham, yeah? I'm here today to inform you that your position is no longer available.
I'm fired?
Yes, you're fired.
Never say fired.
You've been let go.
Why?
This is a mythical situation. How could I possibly know why?
Why doesn't matter. You never know why.
It's important not to focus on the why and rather to spend your energy thinking about your future.
Well, I'm going to spend my energy on suing you unless you give me a good reason why you're firing
me. Mr. Bingham, the reason's not important.
So you're firing me without grounds. Now I really have a lawsuit.
I get what you're trying to say, Ryan.
Don't take this personally, Mr. Bingham.
Personally? This is the most personal situation that you are ever going to enter. So before you try to revolutionize my business, I'd like to know that you actually know my business.
Chastised, Natalie sits back and looks down. Later, Craig goes to see Ryan in his office. Ryan's standing staring at a map of the U.S.
It's a hell of a way to welcome her to the team.
Ryan turns to Craig.
Am I the only one that sees that by doing this, we're making ourselves irrelevant?
No, frankly, we're making you irrelevant.
Nice.
Don't blame me. Blame the high fuel costs, blame insurance premiums, blame technology. You know, you better watch yourself. You're a little too young to become a dinosaur.
I'm not a dinosaur.
I want you to show her the ropes.
What do I know what goes on here? Get Ferguson to do it.
Not talking about here.
Ryan raises his eyebrows.
No.
Yeah. Come on, you're very, very confident this girl doesn't know what she's doing, so...
Well, I'm sorry, I don't think a MySpace page qualifies you to rewire an entire company.
Well, then great, here's your chance. Go out there, show her the magic, take her through the paces.
I'm not a fucking tour guide.
Craig curls a piece of paper and holds up a finger.
Oh, here we go.
Bingham, here's the boat. And here's you. Do you want to be in the boat?
Yeah, alone.
Craig shakes his head.
We're ringing the bell. We're rounding everybody up. You want to stay out there a little bit longer, you're welcome to do it, but you will not be alone, okay? You let me know.
Ryan screws up the piece of paper and throws it in the bin. At home, he takes pristine white T-shirts off a shelf and lays them in his suitcase with the rest of his clothes. He packs his tie pouch, straightens up, and sees the cardboard cutout of Julie and Jim.
Oh, Christ.
He picks up the photo and holds it over his case lengthways and crossways. It's just that little bit too long. Wearing a sharp charcoal grey suit, Ryan walks through the airport dragging the case. Julie and Jim's smiling faces are poking out of the top. Ryan stops and stares. Outside, Natalie's embracing a big beefy guy. Ryan slides his swipe card through the slot on the self-service check-in machine, then collects his boarding pass. Ryan steps away with case in tow. He wearily raises his eyebrows as he watches Natalie come in. She stoops slightly as she drags a large, unwieldy suitcase. She has a large black bag slung over her shoulder and a coat over her arm. Ryan looks at her and sighs. She looks blank.
What?
Follow me.
At a luggage store, Ryan wheels a wheelie case back and forth.
I really like my luggage.
It's exactly what it is. It's luggage. You know how much time you lose by checking in?
I don't know. 5, 10 minutes.
35 minutes a flight. I travel 270 days a year. That's 157 hours. That makes 7 days. You willing to throw away an entire week on that?
Natalie kneels on the floor, transferring her belongings from her hefty suitcase to the neater, smaller wheelie case. Ryan grabs a travel pillow.
This. Sorry. I'll give that.
He bins it.
I'm not gonna need that. They have neck pillows on the plane. They have better ones there. I can do this.
He bins a full-size pillow.
At security.
Thank you. At security, Ryan sees a group of businessmen.
Bingo. Asians.
You can't be serious.
You never get behind people traveling with infants. Never seen a stroller collapse in less than 20 minutes. Old people are worse. Their bodies are littered with hidden metal, and they never seem to appreciate how little time they have left on Earth. Here you go. 5 words, randomly selected for additional screening. Asians. They pack light, travel efficiently, and they got a thing for slip-on shoes, God love them.
That's racist.
Unlike my mother, I stereotype. It's faster.
Ryan collects his things on the other side of the X-ray machine. Natalie's being scanned. Natalie takes off a bracelet. On the plane, she and Ryan sit side by side with the aisle between them. Natalie types on her laptop, and Ryan sketches a logo for What's in Your Backpack. He looks across at her.
You mad at your computer?
I type with purpose.
What is it that you're working on so furiously?
I'm building a workflow of firing techniques. It's questions and responses, actions and reactions. It's a script taking you through the steps of firing someone.
Who's it for?
Well, theoretically, you could put it in the hands of anyone and they'd be downsizing immediately. All you have to do is follow the steps.
Natalie, what is it you think we do here?
We prepare the newly unemployed for the emotional and physical hurdles of job hunting while minimizing legal blowback.
That's what we're selling. It's not what we're doing.
Okay, what are we doing?
We are here to make limbo tolerable. To ferry wounded souls across the river of dread until the point where hope is dimly visible.
She stares at him.
And then to stop the boat, shove him in the water, and make him swim.
That was really impressive. You gonna put that in your book?
With a dismissive glance, she gets back to work. Ryan smiles wryly. St. Louis. As they walk through the terminal building, Ryan gets a call from Alex.
Hey, I gotta grab this. I'll meet you at the car rental.
Okay.
Hey, I was hoping I'd hear from you.
I'm in Hotlanta. I need a rib joint recommend bad.
Fat Matt's. Bring a bib.
You never called.
Well, I wasn't sure what was appropriate.
Appropriate? Ryan, I'm not some waitress you banged in a snowstorm.
That word has no place in our vocabulary.
I am the woman that you don't have to worry about.
Sounds like a trap.
Listen, the next time that you're worried about manners, don't. If you want to call, call. Just think of me as yourself, only with a vagina.
When am I going to see you?
Well, I'm out of Hartsfield into IAD with a connection at ORD into SDF.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, tell me about it.
How long's your layover? They got multiples into SDF. Think you could push?
Yeah, I can push.
A smile spreads across Ryan's face. Ryan walks through an open plan office with Natalie, who's clutching a pile of strategy packets. Office workers stare at them as they head to a private office. Natalie silently seethes.
All you have to do today is watch and listen. And when I talk about a strategy packet, hand them one of those.
Sounds great.
So although I wish I were here with better news, the fact is that you and I are sitting here today because this will be your last week of employment at this company.
Why me?
What am I supposed to do now?
Am I supposed to feel better that I'm not the only one losing my job?
This is ridiculous. I have been a fine employee for over 10 years, and this is the way you treat me.
How you sleep at night, man? Huh? How's your family? They sleeping well at night? Electricity still on? Heat still on? Refrigerator full of food? Gas tank full of gas? Going Chuck E. Cheese this weekend or something? Not me. No, my kids, we're not going to do anything.
An older, balding man holds up a photo of two young girls.
What do you suggest I tell them?
Sitting opposite him, Ryan glances down. Natalie is beside Ryan.
Perhaps you're underestimating the positive effect that your career transition can have on your children.
The positive effect? Make about 90 grand a year now. Unemployment is what, 250 bucks a week? Is that one of your positive effects? Well, we'll get to be cozier, because I'm not going to be able to pay my mortgage on my house, so maybe we can move into a nice fucking one-bedroom apartment somewhere. And I guess without benefits, I'll be able to hold my daughter as she, you know, suffers from her asthma that I won't be able to afford the medication for.
Well, tests have shown that children under moderate trauma have a tendency to apply themselves academically.
Ryan's incredulous.
As a method of coping.
Go fuck yourself. That's what my kids will think.
Your children's admiration is important to you?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Well, I doubt they ever admired you, Bob.
Hey, asshole, aren't you supposed to be consoling me?
I'm not a shrink, Bob. I'm a wake-up call. You know why kids love athletes?
Oh, because they screw lingerie models.
No, that's why we love athletes. Kids love athletes because they follow their dreams.
Bob sits back, resigned.
Well, I can't dunk.
No, but you can cook.
What are you talking about?
Your resume says that you minored in French culinary arts. Most students, they're working the fryer at KFC, but you bust tables at Il Picador to support yourself. And then you get out of college, and you come and you work here. How much did they first pay you to give up on your dreams?
27 grand a year.
And when were you going to stop and come back and do what makes you happy?
Bob shakes his head.
Good question.
I see guys who work at the same company for their entire lives, guys exactly like you. They clock in, they clock out, and they never have a moment of happiness.
Natalie studies Ryan.
You have an opportunity here, Bob. This is a rebirth. Now, if not for you, do it for your children.
Craggy-faced Bob stares at Ryan thoughtfully. He glances down at the photos of his girls. Ryan nods to Natalie, who picks up one of the strategy packets, and hands it to Bob. Bob looks at the packet and takes it. At the Hilton, Natalie follows Ryan into the lobby. A woman stares as he walks past the queue and up to the desk.
He just waltzes in and cuts in line.
We reserve priority assistance for our Hilton Honors members.
Promotions are great. You should check it out.
He hands her a leaflet and she snatches it. In the dining room, Ryan sits with three plates of food.
Hungry much?
Natalie sits.
Our business expense allots $40 each for dinner. I plan on grabbing as many miles as I can.
Okay. You gotta fill me in on the miles thing. What is that about? Are you talking about, like, frequent flyer miles?
You really want to know?
I'm dying to know.
I don't spend a nickel if I can help it, unless it somehow profits my mileage account.
So what are you saving up for, Hawaii? South of France?
It's not like that. The miles are the goal.
That's it? You're saving just to save?
Let's just say that I have a number in mind and I haven't hit it yet.
That's a little abstract. What's the target?
I'd rather not.
Is it a secret target?
It's 10 million miles.
Okay. Isn't 10 million just a number?
Pi's just a number.
Well, we all need a hobby. No, I don't mean to belittle your collection. I get it. It sounds cool.
I'd be the seventh person to do it. More people have walked on the moon.
Did they throw you a parade?
You get lifetime executive status. You get to meet the chief pilot, Maynard Finch.
Wow.
And they put your name on the side of a plane.
Men get such hard-ons from putting their name on stuff. You guys don't grow up. It's like you need to pee on everything.
Oh, now who's stereotyping?
Fear of mortality. It's like, yeah, you're gonna die one day.
And why do you suppose that's singular to men?
Probably because you can't have babies.
The baby argument.
Natalie pokes at her plate of food with her fork.
If I had that many miles, I would show up at an airport, look at the destination board, pick a place, and go.
Ryan throws out his hand and smiles. Wearing a white dressing gown, he sits on the bed in his hotel room. He takes a wedding invitation from an envelope and studies it. Ryan picks up his BlackBerry and reads a text from Alex. Can't fall asleep. Ryan smiles and replies. Alex reads the reply. Me too. Just laying here. Alex grins and writes back. You should rub one out. Ryan stares at his BlackBerry.
Thanks for the advice.
Ryan writes, only fair if you do too. Alex looks at her BlackBerry. She replies, way ahead of you. Ryan reads it.
Jesus.
Ryan writes, call me next time so I can listen. Alex replies with a smiley face beside the message. Have sweet dreams about me. Day. Natalie lines up a photograph. Ryan holds the cardboard cutout of Julie and Jim in front of the main terminal building at St. Louis Airport, a row of grand glass-fronted arches.
Okay. Closer. Way closer.
Ryan moves closer.
Still closer. Closer. Okay. A little left. Okay, down a little. Too far. Up. Up. One more inch.
Ryan looks fed up.
I don't get it. Why does your sister want a fake photo?
My sister is kooky. She thinks this is charming. It's like the gnome thing.
No, I mean, why would your sister want a fake photo in front of the St. Louis airport?
Are you kidding? Lambert Field? Wright Brothers flew through there. That domed main terminal? It's the first of its kind. It's a precursor from everything from JFK to De Gaulle.
It's pretty sweet.
Just take the picture.
Natalie takes the picture.
Wow, that's a keeper.
Let me see it.
She hands over the camera.
Why she wants dozens of reminders of all the places she hasn't been is beyond me, but...
Well, I'm sure she'll be crushed for having missed this airport.
Look, before Lindbergh could cross the Atlantic, he took off from one of those runways. You ever wonder why they call it the Spirit of St. Louis?
No.
What?
She walks off. Ryan's incredulous. Wichita. Ryan and Natalie sit with a young man in a conference room.
The one thing preventing this place from being totally fucked in the ass.
He grabs a strategy packet, shoves a chair over, and storms out.
Sometimes they just need to vent.
Please, for the love of God, can I fire the next one?
A young woman.
Miss Barnes, thank you for joining us.
I'm here to be fired, right?
Well, we're here to talk about your future.
You don't have to sugarcoat it. I get the drill. What are they offering?
Inside the packet, you'll find a clearly worked out severance package.
Give me the bullet points.
It's actually pretty good. 3 months pay, 6 months medical, and a full year of placement services through our company, CTC.
Placement services? That's generous.
Commonly, it takes 1 month of searching for every $10,000 you expect to earn in salary.
So I could be looking for a while.
Not necessarily.
Don't even sweat it. I'm pretty confident about my plans.
Really?
Yeah. There's this beautiful bridge by my house. I'm gonna go jump off it.
Ryan follows Natalie outside.
Natalie! Hey! Natalie!
She sits on a bench and he stands facing her. She looks disturbed.
People say these things all the time. It's part of the trade.
They do?
Yeah. I mean, they say crazy things that get worked up.
She was really calm.
I think that's a good sign.
So they don't ever actually do it?
No, it's just talk.
How do you know? Do you follow up?
I mean, no, nothing good's gonna come of that, but I wouldn't worry about it. This is what we do, Natalie. We take people at their most fragile and we set them adrift.
She nods. Concerned, Ryan frowns.
You ready to go back in?
She nods stiffly.
All right, let's go. Come on.
An American Airlines jet taxis. The silver jet with red, white and blue livery speeds along the runway and takes off. Rows of houses in suburbia. Kansas City. Ryan and Natalie walk into a large open plan office which has already been cleared, apart from a few chairs and a couple of desks. The receptionist looks up at Natalie and Ryan tearfully. Natalie scans the bare office, looking slightly uncomfortable.
I've spent too long away from home.
Another flight. Tulsa. In a hotel lobby, Ryan stands waiting as Natalie talks on her phone.
No, I'm fine. Tell me something sweet. I'll be back soon. I'm not really sure how long this whole exercise is supposed to last. No, I don't even think of him that way. He's old.
Ryan frowns and turns sharply to look in a mirror. Ryan and Natalie sit in separate offices with various employees who look at their strategy packets. Outside a hotel room with Alex, Ryan tries one of his cards in the door slot. It doesn't work, so he tosses it away. He tries another and opens the door. They go in. A jet takes off. On the flight, Ryan hands Natalie an American Airlines priority access application form and a pen. She tentatively takes them. A wide river runs through a large city, Des Moines. Ryan and Natalie meet several employees.
I'm done.
Wasn't expecting this. Not at all.
Just like that?
I'm disappointed that I've given so much of my life.
This is not fair.
There are people that are going to be way more qualified than me now.
I don't know what to do when I wake up in the morning. Tomorrow.
An old guy lets out a short breath. Ryan finds Natalie sitting in a room crammed full of office chairs.
You okay?
She gets up, holding her coat.
Are we gone?
They walk out past a car rental office. A few small clouds float in the clear sky above Miami, set against deep blue ocean. A jet comes into land. So Ryan gives a motivational talk.
This is how I start every day of my life. Now, this is going to be a little difficult, so stay with me. You have a new backpack. Only this time, I want you to fill it with people. You start with casual acquaintances, friends of friends, folks around the office. And then you move into the people that you trust with your most intimate secrets. Your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters, your parents. And finally, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You get them into that backpack. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to light it on fire. Feel the weight of that bag. Make no mistake, your relationships are the heaviest components in your life. You feel the straps cutting into your shoulders. All those negotiations and arguments and secrets and compromises.
Natalie stands at the back of the conference room watching.
You don't need to carry all that weight. Why don't you set that bag down?
He smiles thoughtfully.
Some animals were meant to carry each other, to live symbiotically for a lifetime. Star-crossed lovers, monogamous swans, We are not those animals. The slower we move, the faster we die. We are not swans. We're sharks.
In a corridor, Ryan chats with a couple of delegates. Natalie looks up from her cell phone, shocked. Natalie looks over at Ryan. They sit facing each other on the Hilton shuttle bus.
Never?
No.
Ever?
No.
You never want to get married?
Nope.
Never want kids?
Not a chance.
Ever?
Never. Is that so bizarre?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I just don't see the value in it. All right, sell it to me.
What?
Sell me marriage.
Natalie's taken aback.
Okay, how about love?
Ryan grins.
Stability? Just somebody you can count on?
How many stable marriages do you know?
Somebody to talk to? Someone to spend your life with?
I'm surrounded by people to talk to. I doubt that's going to change.
They arrive at the hotel.
How about just not dying alone?
Starting when I was 12, we moved each one of my grandparents into a nursing facility. My parents went the same way. Make no mistake, we all die alone. Now, those cult members in San Diego with the Kool-Aid and the sneakers, they didn't die alone. I'm just saying there are options.
Natalie's face crumples and she starts to sob.
Oh, fuck.
Brian left me!
Brian frowns awkwardly and holds out his hands.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right.
She falls into his arms.
All right.
Ryan sees Alex and gives her a little embarrassed wave. She comes over.
Hey. Natalie, this is Alex, my friend. This is Natalie.
I should give you both a moment.
No, that's fine. I'm fine. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Maybe we should just all go up to our rooms and freshen up.
Or maybe a drink?
Now you're talking.
A text. I think it's time we see other people.
He broke up with you over text message?
It's kind of like firing someone over the internet.
Natalie shoots Ryan a look.
What a Weasley prick.
Yeah, but what does that make me? Someone who falls for a prick.
We all fall for them. Pricks are spontaneous, they're unpredictable, and they're fun. And then we're surprised when they turn out to be pricks.
I followed him to Omaha.
You did?
I had a job waiting for me in San Francisco when he got an offer from ConAgra. He said we could start a life together. So I followed him.
To Nebraska.
I thought I'd be engaged by now. No offense.
None taken.
Sorry.
Natalie frowns.
When I was 16, I thought by 23, I'd be married, maybe have a kid, corner office by day, entertaining at night. I was supposed to be driving a Grand Cherokee by now.
Yep, life can underwhelm you that way.
I mean, where did you think you'd be by,
Natalie raises a drink to her lips.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Well, at a certain point, you stop with the deadlines.
It could be a little counterproductive.
I don't want to say anything that's anti-feminist. I really appreciate everything that your generation did for me.
It was our pleasure.
Well done.
But sometimes it feels like no matter how much success I have, it's not gonna matter until I find the right guy.
You really thought this guy was the one?
I could have made it work. He really fit the bill, you know?
The bill?
White collar, college grad. Loves dogs, likes funny movies. 6'1", brown hair, kind eyes. Works in finance, but is outdoorsy, you know, on the weekends. I always imagined you'd have a single-syllable name, like Matt or John or Dave. In a perfect world, he drives a 4Runner, and the only thing he loves more than me is his golden lab. And a nice smile.
Alex smiles broadly.
What about you?
Let me think. You know, honestly, by the time you're 34, all the physical requirements just go out the window. I mean, like, you secretly pray that he'll be taller than you. Not an asshole would be nice. Just someone who enjoys my company, comes from a good family. Because you don't think about that when you're younger. I don't know. Someone who wants kids. Likes kids. Wants kids. Yeah. Healthy enough
to play with his kids.
Oh, please, let him earn more money than I do. You might not understand that now, but believe me, you will one day. Otherwise, that's a recipe for disaster. Hopefully some hair on his head. But, I mean, even that's not a deal breaker these days. A nice smile. Yeah, nice smile. Nice smile just might do it.
Natalie looks down thoughtfully.
Wow, that was depressing. I should just date women.
Tried it. We're no picnic ourselves.
Ryan gives an I told you so look.
I don't mind being married to my career. And I don't expect it to hold me in bed as I fall asleep. I just don't want to settle.
You're young. Right now you see settling as some sort of a failure.
It is. By definition.
Yeah, but by the time someone is right for you, it won't feel like settling. And the only person left to judge you will be the 23-year-old girl with the target on your back.
Natalie looks uncertain. They walk through the lobby.
So what's the plan for the evening?
Well, we're going to hit that party for the tech conference at the hotel.
Oh, I didn't know you could just attend those. I thought you had to be registered.
Well, technically, I don't think it's open to the public.
Stop by.
You're going to crash it?
Well, you know, they throw a really nice party and they have a good time, usually.
No, I get it. I'm in.
They go to the registration desk for the AlphaTech party. Ryan and Alex casually pick up name badges and neckbands. Looking a bit shifty, Natalie does the same and follows them round a corner. The threesome clip the name badges to their neckbands and hang them around their necks. Alex reads Natalie's name badge.
Jennifer Chu?
Shit!
That'll be fine.
At the party in the hotel ballroom, Natalie, Alex and Ryan are at the bar getting drinks. They turn round and survey the scene. People stand at small white tables with shiny balloons floating on ribbons above them. Ryan, Natalie and Alex go and stand round a table. Natalie has a gulp from her drink.
Feeling all right?
She nods and smiles.
Yeah, this was a great idea.
She looks at Alex.
You're so pretty.
Natalie walks onto the dance floor, and Alex grabs Ryan.
No.
Alex and Ryan dance together. Natalie wanders about on her own, moving to the music. A young guy with a stubbly chin bops about and notices Natalie. He leans to her, and she smiles.
Hi, I'm Dave!
I'm Natalie!
Who's Jennifer?
She looks at her name badge. A DJ on a stage.
All right, right about now, give it up for a very special AlphaTech guest, Young MC.
A big black guy.
What's up, AlphaTech? I got a busted computer at home. Can somebody fix it for me? This here's a gym for all the fellas. Try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down because you're overzealous. Play hard to get females that get jealous.
Ryan and Alex have their picture taken in front of a backdrop of a giant wave. They squat, hold out their arms and pretend they're surfing. Natalie and Dave pose for pictures. A bit drunk, she drapes herself all over him. Dave holds Natalie up as they leave the photo area. On the dance floor, Alex and Ryan face each other and shout.
Say yeah! Say oh yeah! Say bust the move!
Everyone points in the air and jumps around.
Say yeah!
Later, Ryan and Alex are at a table.
I want you to have a key to my place.
He hands her a key card.
Wow. I had no idea we were at that point in our relationship.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
They both smile.
Where is she?
Natalie sings karaoke on a yacht in the harbour. A few drunken party guests, including Dave, are there.
Flashback to warm nights, almost left behind.
Alex and Ryan sit on a platform at the back of the yacht. He dangles his feet in the clear blue water.
Back home, I don't get to act the way I do with you.
That's why I don't have a back home.
Okay. I know. You're so cool. Mr. Empty Backpack.
You know about my backpack?
I Googled it.
You did?
It's what us modern girls do when we have a crush.
Did it bother you?
It depends. Is the bag empty because you hate people or because you hate the baggage that they come along?
I don't hate people. I'm not exactly a hermit.
You just don't want to be tied down with that whole responsibility thing?
I don't know what originally sparked the backpack. Probably needed to be alone. Recently, I've been thinking that I needed to empty the backpack before I knew what to put back in it.
They gaze at each other, then share a lingering kiss. The power fails, and all the lights on the yacht go out. Ryan and Alex look back towards the city lights, some distance away. Everyone gets a ride back to land in a small pontoon boat. They jog up onto the sandy beach. A courtesy bus delivers the group to the hotel. They run into the entrance barefoot. Morning. Ryan wakes up in bed. Alex is already dressed. He looks at her, bleary-eyed.
Hey, you're up.
Yeah, I should fly standby, make a meeting in Cincinnati. Oh.
Okay.
Aw, that made you feel cheap.
That's all right, just leave the money on the dresser.
I'll text you later so we can swap schedules.
She leans down and kisses him.
Hey.
He beams.
I really like you.
I like you too.
Good. Go catch a plane.
Alex goes. Ryan and Natalie have breakfast at the hotel's outdoor cafe. They sit at one of many tables under a blue umbrella.
Last night, it was kind of out of hand and I said things. I'm not actually sure everything that I said. But I didn't want you to think.
Just relax. It was nice to see you cut loose. So did you wake him up or slip out?
She stares at him.
What?
This morning, your new friend. Did you wake him up for an awkward goodbye, or did you just slip out and make him feel like a whore?
I just left.
The protocol's always tricky.
They walk along a pier. Natalie has the photo of Julie and Jim.
What happened to Alex?
She had to leave town early to get to a meeting.
It's too bad. Where's she live?
Chicago.
Think gonna go in to see her?
I don't really have that kind of relationship. Try right over there. That's right.
What kind of relationship do you have?
You know, casual.
Sounds pretty special.
It works for us.
Natalie holds up the photo.
Don't you think there's a future there?
I never really thought about it. What's going on here?
Really never thought about it?
No.
How can you not think about that? How does it not even cross your mind that you might want a future with someone?
It's simple. You know that moment when you look into somebody's eyes and you can feel them staring into your soul and the whole world goes quiet just for a second?
Yes.
Right, well, I don't.
You're an asshole.
No, look, I'm just dicking around. Come on, give me a hand.
Don't you think it's worth giving her a chance?
A chance to what?
A chance at something real.
Natalie, your definition of real is going to evolve as you get older.
Can you stop condescending for one second, or is that one of the principles of your bullshit philosophy?
Bullshit philosophy?
The isolation, the traveling, is that supposed to be charming?
No, it's simply a life choice.
It's a cocoon of self-banishment.
Wow, big words.
Screw you.
Now, screw you too.
You have set up a way of life that basically makes it impossible for you to have any kind of human connection. And now this woman comes along and somehow runs the gauntlet of your ridiculous life choice and comes out on the other end smiling just so you can call her casual? I need to grow up. You're a 12-year-old.
I don't have a gauntlet.
The cardboard cutout photo blows into the water.
Fuck.
Ryan kneels on the edge of the wooden pier and reaches for the photo. He falls in the water. In his hotel room, wearing a white toweling robe, Ryan dries the cutout with a hairdryer. Ryan drags his case through the airport. Judy and Jim poke out of the top, looking a little wrinkled and worn. Detroit. The airport is shrouded in a snowstorm. Ryan and Natalie drive along an icy road. They glance at each other awkwardly. Ryan parks in an office car park. He and Natalie get out. She holds an armful of strategy packets.
Now listen, these Detroit guys can be tough. They've been getting hammered, so you don't get distracted. Stick with the simple stuff. You get these packets in their hand, and you get them out the door, okay?
A security guard leads them through a busy open-plan office. They go into a smaller office. Craig's on a computer screen via a video feed. Ryan looks at the screen and frowns.
Hey, welcome to Detroit.
What's going on here?
I've been looking at those great numbers over the last few days. I thought maybe we should just nut up and give this a try.
We use a little more time.
Well, you gotta leave the nest at some point, huh?
This is a real company, Craig. We're here to do some damage.
I know. It's a good thing we brought our best, okay? Let's stop screwing around.
All right, just give me a minute to prepare and get my things together.
I was thinking that Natalie was gonna take this one.
She's hardly ready for that.
I've been watching her results the last few days. She's great.
This is a whole other animal.
You know, she created it and everything, right? Hey, Natalie, are you not up for it?
She smiles nervously.
Yeah, I'm game.
That's my girl.
They prepare the packets.
Just remember, don't apologize. Don't tell them how hard this is for you. Today's one of the worst days they're ever going to have in their life. How we feel doesn't even compare.
Got it.
All right, just keep it professional. You'll be fine.
A thick-set bald man appears on a computer screen in front of Natalie.
What's all this? What's going on?
Hello, Mr. Samuels. I wish I were here with better news. However, your position here at Wertheimer's is no longer available.
What are you talking about?
You've been let go.
Just like that? Who are you?
Ryan sits with Natalie.
My name is Miss Keener, and I'm here today to talk about your options.
I worked for this company for 17 years, and they sent a fourth grader to can me. What the fuck is this?
Ryan and Natalie look up. They realize Mr. Samuels is in the next office on the other side of an opaque glass screen.
It's perfectly normal to be upset. However, the sooner you can tell yourself that greater opportunities are waiting for you...
Greater opportunities? I'm 57 fucking years old.
Anybody who ever built an empire or changed the world sat where you are now. And it's because they sat there that they were able to do it.
In distress, Mr. Samuel's chest heaves.
There's a packet in front of you. I want you to take some time and review it. All the answers you're looking for are inside those pages.
He picks up the packet.
The sooner you trust the process, the sooner the next step of your life will unveil itself.
He looks down and starts to sob.
I need you to go back to your office now and start putting together your personal things.
Ryan frowns and looks between Natalie and Mr. Samuels on the screen. The heavy-set man shakes with grief. Natalie's eyes rove and she licks her lips.
Mr. Samuels, that's all we can discuss now.
Craig watches on his screen.
Mr. Samuels.
Mr. Samuels looks down.
Mr. Samuels?
He doesn't look up.
Mr. Samuels!
Startled, he gets up and walks out. Ryan and Natalie watch him wipe his hand across his face as he walks past the office they're in. Natalie looks unsettled.
You did good.
She nods slightly.
You okay? You want me to take over?
No, I'm all right.
Natalie looks down at a list of 40 names. Her eyes flit nervously. Number one is Mr. Samuels. She crosses it out. In the snowy car park, Ryan talks to Craig on his cell phone. Natalie leans on the car.
No, look, we just got here. That's one place. I think we need to try a few more. Maybe it doesn't make a difference, but it's comforting to know that we're in the next room. I know you don't give a shit about my confidence. I think we could try a few more, that's all I'm saying.
Ryan frowns as he listens.
Fine. All right. Okay. All right.
He hangs up and turns to Natalie.
You thought you did a great job. You did. I'm real proud of you.
Thanks.
They're pulling us off the road. We're going home.
Really? For good?
Good job.
Later, in the north terminal of Detroit Airport, Ryan and Natalie stand silhouetted against a large window. Outside, the nose of a jet looms. Standing on a moving walkway, Ryan looks at the wedding invitation. We request the pleasure of your company at the wedding of Julie Ann Bingham and James Arthur Miller. Natalie's behind Ryan.
I'm sorry about what I said about Alex. That was out of line.
It's all right, I understand.
I mean, who am I to be doling out relationship advice, right?
No kidding.
Her smile fades.
Are you going to be okay?
What do you mean?
In Omaha?
Oh. I don't know.
It's better than you'd think.
Natalie walks ahead. Ryan stares thoughtfully at the wedding invitation and the RSVP slip. He stops, turns round, and heads back the way he came.
Ryan! Ryan! Where are you going?
I'm grabbing another flight. Something I gotta take care of. I'll see you back at home.
Natalie spins round and heads off. Ryan looks out of the window of a jet as it rises into the sky. In Las Vegas, Alex holds the cutout of Julie and Jim in front of the pyramid-shaped Luxor Hotel. Ryan aims the digital camera.
Okay, just walk it in a little more. There you go. Yeah.
Alex moves the cutout closer and he takes a picture.
Got it.
Alex stares at the cutout.
They're a cute couple.
Think so?
Yeah, they're like cute kids.
Ryan smiles.
How do you like Wisconsin in February?
I like it if you're there. And I know Killer Burger in Milwaukee.
Northern Wisconsin.
She looks surprised.
What are you doing this weekend?
No.
I haven't.
No, well, you want me to be your date?
Yeah. Yeah.
You mean your sister's wedding?
Well, it's not like I know her that well. Look, I'm not the wedding type, right? But the first time in my life, I don't want to be that guy alone at a bar. I want a dance partner. I want a plus one. And if you can stomach it, I'd like it to be you.
Alex smiles warmly. Milwaukee. A jet comes into land. Alex and Ryan walk through the airport terminal. He pulls his black wheelie case. She pulls a similar, neat, red wheelie case. Later, they walk into the Chalet Suites, a Swiss lodge-themed hotel. They join a short queue of people checking in. Ryan notices a second counter with no queue.
Excuse me. Are you available?
This line's for members of our Matterhorn program.
As Ryan opens a hotel room door, his sister Kara walks up holding a basket of washing.
Hey, Ryan. Hey.
Kara. Hi. Hey, hi. Hi. Alex, this is my sister, Kara.
Hi.
Well, hello. Ryan's told me nothing about you. So you two are dating?
No, not exactly.
Well, hey, don't worry about it. We're all getting a little old to be calling someone girlfriend. I remember when Mom used to call Jack her boyfriend. God, drove me up the wall. Boyfriends are for kids, right?
So what are you doing at the hotel?
Yeah, okay. Frank and I are trying out a trial separation.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you're not staying at the house?
No, there was a room on hold here, so I thought I'd just take it for the weekend.
Right. So the rehearsal dinner...
Oh, yeah, tonight. I'll see you two there.
Alex and Ryan walk into their gaudily furnished room.
Nice digs.
Ryan picks up a photocopied booklet.
There's a packet.
There's a picture of Julie and Jim on the front. At the rehearsal dinner.
Hey, look who's here.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Ryan.
Julie hugs Ryan.
Hi. Oh, you must be Alex.
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Oh, you are so beautiful. Carol was right. Gosh. You look so grown up.
I do. You're the one that's getting married.
Oh, I know, right? Oh, well, you haven't even seen my ring.
Look at that.
Oh, it's lovely.
Jim designed it. Hey, Jim.
Jim comes over.
Hey. How's it going?
Hey, I'm Ryan.
Jim, good to meet you.
Alex.
Pleasure. Well, thank you guys for coming. Brother.
That's true.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I got the pictures you asked me to get.
Oh, you can just put them right there.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
There's a large map of the U.S. on the wall. Pinned to it are several photos of the cutout of Julie and Jim in front of famous landmarks. Brian pins up the pictures he took. St. Louis Airport, Miami, and the Luxor Hotel. Ryan steps back and looks at the map, which is covered in photographs. He smiles thoughtfully and goes back to join Alex, Julie, and Jim. He points at the map.
Got so many of them up there, almost in that room.
I know. It's so great. Everyone just chipped in.
What gave you the idea to do something so...
substantial?
Well, Jim has a lot of our nest egg invested in this real estate venture.
Mm-hmm. It's a real estate investment.
Yeah. It's exciting, but we went over our finances and...
honeymoon just kind of at this state in the game just doesn't really seem affordable.
So, you know, we just thought, just because we can't travel doesn't mean we can't have pictures.
No, I think it's a fabulous idea.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I mean, the concept is turnkey everything, okay? You buy a maintenance contract when you get the home. You know, we'll whack your weeds, we'll change your light bulbs, furniture. You can bring your own, or else you can pick one of our beautiful packages. Seamless traditionalism, yet all the perks.
Nice.
And we all need a place to call our own. This is America. This is what we were promised.
At the bar.
It's a nice touch.
What?
The bit at the end about the promise. I like that part.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
You still renting that one bedroom?
Nope, I gave it up.
So you own now?
No.
But you're looking?
No, not really.
So you're just good?
I'm good.
Well, that's good.
Can you believe it's tomorrow? How are you gonna sleep?
I don't know.
Look, do you want some Xanax?
I don't think that's for sleeping.
Yeah. No, I think I'll just have a glass of warm milk. That'll do the trick.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, there's another box inside.
Oh. I'll grab it.
You sure?
Yeah.
Alex goes back in. Ryan waits outside with Julie and Kara. They smile.
Jim seems like a good guy.
Yeah, isn't he great?
He's going to make a great husband.
Yeah. You know, Julie, I was thinking, you know, with Dad not being here, I was wondering if you had anybody to walk you down the aisle.
Yeah, no, Jim's uncle is going to do it.
He's been really supportive.
He's been great.
Well, that's great. I just wanted to make sure that you... wanted you to be covered, that's all.
Julie nods and looks down sadly.
So I should be there, what?
Yeah, the guests are arriving around 5, and mm-hmm. things get going at 5:30, so... around then.
Okay. Oh. I'm going to help you with those.
A box of flower arrangements.
Got it.
Kara looks at Julie.
It's okay.
Day. Ryan drives up to his old school. He and Alex get out of the car, and he looks at the long, low building.
None of that was here.
Uh-huh.
This is all new.
They tramp across some snow and walk up to the entrance. Ryan tries the door. It's locked. He peers inside. It's dark. He turns to Alex resignedly.
Really?
She grins.
Is that all you got?
What?
She goes to a window. Alex undoes a catch with a credit card and pulls the window open.
Give me a boost.
He grabs her foot and heaves her up.
Watch. Hang on.
They both clamber into a classroom.
I took geography in here.
You ever fool around with one of your teachers?
No, did you?
No, not until college.
They look at old newspaper photos of the basketball team.
That's me on the right.
It's kind of hard to tell.
You can tell by the eyebrow.
You played basketball?
I was a point guard. Don't act so surprised.
No, you're such a jack.
That's me too.
A picture in a trophy case.
And that.
Outside by a loading bay.
My first fight.
How'd it go?
Got my ass kicked. This is where we used to go to make out.
Oh, yes. Yeah, this is very romantic.
They sit on the stairs and kiss. In the gym, they watch the basketball team practice.
Go, go!
Ryan and Alex grin at each other.
I'm really happy I came here.
So am I. Kara.
Kara's calling.
Hey.
Ryan, where are you? We're having a meltdown here.
What's going on? What happened?
It's Jim. Can you get back here? We need your help.
Okay. Gotta go.
Alex drops Ryan off by the church.
I'll grab your suit.
Thanks.
Ryan runs up to the church entrance, opens the door, and runs up some stairs. He walks into the church and finds Julie sitting with her bridesmaids crying. Julie's in white, and the bridesmaids wear cerise. They see Ryan, and Kara goes over to him.
What happened?
Jim's got cold feet.
Today?
Yeah, that's how cold feet work.
What do you want me to do?
Talk to him.
You want me to talk to him?
Hey, it's either you or me. You know my track record. I've already struck out once.
I haven't been to bat. I haven't been in the dugout.
Don't you talk for a living? Motivational type stuff?
I tell people how to avoid commitment.
What kind of fucked up message is that?
It's a philosophy.
It's stupid.
It could have helped you.
Ryan, you haven't been around much. Fuck, basically you don't exist to us. I know you want to be there for her. Well, here it is. This is your chance.
He looks at Julie, who wipes tears from her eyes. Ryan and Kara go to the Sunday school room. Ryan peers through a window in the door. Wearing suit trousers, white shirt and a maroon waistcoat, Jim sits reading a children's book. Ryan turns to Kara and she raises her eyebrows, imploring him to go in. He does so. Jim looks up from the book.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
Ryan shuts the door.
Jim.
You ever read this before?
Yeah, it's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, I'll say.
Jim's book, The Velveteen Rabbit.
Kara mentioned that you were having some thoughts.
I don't think I'm gonna be able to do this.
And why would you say that today?
Well, last night I was just kind of like laying in bed and I couldn't get to sleep. So I started thinking about the wedding and the ceremony and about how we're buying a house and moving in together and having a kid and then having another kid and then Christmas and Thanksgiving and spring break and going to football games, and then all of a sudden they're graduating, they're getting jobs, and they're getting married, and, you know, I'm a grandparent, and then I'm retired, I'm losing my hair, I'm getting fat, and then the next thing you know, I'm dead. And I'm just like, I can't stop from thinking, what's the point?
Ryan's eyes rove.
I mean, what is the point?
The point?
Yeah, I mean, what am I starting here?
Ryan sits.
Jim, it's... marriage, it's one of the most beautiful things on earth. It's what people aspire to.
Well, you never got married.
That's true.
You never even tried.
Well, it's hard to define try.
I don't know, you seem happier than all my married friends.
Look, Jim, I'm not gonna lie to you. Marriage can be a pain in the ass. And you're kind of right, this all is just stuff that leads to your eventual demise.
Yes.
And we're all on running clocks, and they can't be slowed down or paused, and, you know, we all end up in the same place. Yeah.
There's no point.
There is no point. That's what I'm saying.
Ryan sees Kara at the window mouthing, "What?"
You know, I'm not normally the guy you would talk to about stuff like this. If you think about it, your favorite memories, the most important moments in your life, were you alone?
No, I guess not.
You come to think of it, last night, the night before your wedding, when all this shit is swirling around in your head, weren't you guys sleeping in separate bedrooms?
Yeah, Julie went back to the apartment. I was just by myself in the honeymoon suite.
Kind of lonely, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty lonely.
Ryan shrugs.
Life's better with company.
Jim nods.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a co-pilot.
Jim raises his eyebrows.
That was a nice touch.
Thanks.
So, what's the mood like out there?
It's not good.
She's pretty pissed.
She's upset.
What should I do?
Ryan smiles.
Go get her.
Watching, Kara smiles. She ushers Jim into the room where Julie sits being consoled by the other bridesmaids. Jim walks over to Julie, kneels down, and takes her hands in his.
I'm such a fuck-up. I love you so much. Will you be my co-pilot?
She smiles and nods.
Yes.
They hug each other. Watching from the doorway, Kara glances at Ryan.
Welcome home.
An usher hands guests the order of service and they take their seats in the church. In the vestry, Alex helps Ryan get into his suit.
I know you'll help us when you're feeling better, and we realize that it might not be for a long, long time, but we're willing to wait on you. We believe in everything that you can do if you could only lay down your mind.
Ryan and Alex sit watching as flower girls walk down the aisle. Jim stands waiting with the bridesmaids. Everyone looks round as Julie walks down the aisle, arm in arm with Jim's uncle. Julie and Jim walk up to the priest who conducts the ceremony. Everyone stands watching as Jim slips the wedding ring onto Julie's finger. She beams. Ryan sits with Alex's hand in his. Julie and Jim light candles. He lifts her veil and they kiss. Everyone applauds. Julie and Jim walk up the aisle, arm in arm. She waves her bouquet. Everyone lines up outside for photographs. At the reception, Julie and Jim dance together. Guests wave tiny little wedding bells. Alex and Ryan smile and laugh together. Julie and Ryan dance cheek to cheek. The dance floor fills and Alex and Ryan dance together. He pulls a goofy face and falls back into her arms. They play patter cake. Ryan looks serious and waggles his arms. Alex shimmies from side to side. Julie tosses her bouquet over her shoulder, and one of the bridesmaids catches it. Alex and Ryan slow dance together.
I know you'll help us when you're feeling better, and we realize that it might not be for a long, long time, but we're willing to wait on you.
As the guests start to leave, Alex and Ryan sit together. He grabs a bouquet of flowers and hands it to her. She cracks up. Ryan helps Alex on with her jacket, and they leave. In the hotel lift, Alex and Ryan kiss. Next day at the airport.
Okay. This is your stop.
Holding their wheelie cases, they face each other, smiling.
When am I going to see you?
Just going to have to come visit.
So settled. You're not going to change on me, are you?
No, same guy. Just one address.
Alex's smile drops for a moment.
Call me when you get lonely.
She walks off.
Lonely.
Ryan watches her head to her departure gate. Omaha. Ryan walks along the hall and lets himself into his apartment. Ryan stops for a moment and looks at the sparse white room. He opens the door to a closet and hangs up some shirts. In the bathroom, he puts his toothbrush in a glass. With Natalie, Ryan walks along a line of cubicles where workers talk to people on video links.
Some guy sits down in a conference room somewhere and our server routes his session to one of our termination engineers.
Termination engineers, really?
Well, I preferred terminators, but it bumped with legal.
Can't imagine why.
They follow a workflow that takes them through anything from a standard dismissal to a violent aggressor.
What do they do now? Are they practicing?
Well, beta testing, role-playing. We go live at the end of the month. Kyle, you're running through the events too quickly. You need to give them time to acknowledge each statement, okay? It's a legal thing.
Ryan's distracted.
Ryan?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's more. Were you
looking? Sitting in front of a computer screen, Ryan puts on a headset.
This is ridiculous.
Well, you know, legal's really starting to come hard at this term. Terminate. So let's try to get...
Is this wrong?
In a meeting with Craig and other employees, Ryan looks at the schedule for the Gold Quest conference on his laptop. At home, he takes a couple of whiskey miniatures from his fridge. He stands looking out of a window with a drink in his hand. A large video screen outside a Las Vegas hotel displays a caption, Gold Quest XX, Life to the Power of You. Ryan waits in the wings of a packed conference hall.
Can this road be taken at all?
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for today's challenge speaker, Mr. Ryan Bingham.
Go get him. Smartly suited, Ryan puts his backpack on a table and steps up to a lectern. Computer-generated backpacks revolve on screens behind him.
Last year, I flew 350,000 miles. The moon is 250. I'd like you to imagine for a second that you're carrying a backpack. I want you to feel the straps on your shoulders. You feel them? I want you to pack it with all the stuff that you have in your life. Start with the little things, the things on shelves and in drawers.
Ryan looks out across the room full of seated delegates. Lost in his thoughts, he hangs his head, then shakes it slightly. Ryan looks up and smiles to himself. He taps his thumb on the lectern.
Excuse me.
He walks off past a backstage guy.
What the fuck are you...
Ryan leaves the building. He runs through the airport, dragging his case with one hand and with a boarding pass flapping in the other. He reaches a departure gate, gets the pass checked, and goes through. On a jet, Ryan gazes out of the window. The nighttime lights of Chicago. In a flurry of snow, Ryan picks up a Hertz rental car.
Hey, you got a sign.
Oh. Ryan signs.
Okay, thank you.
Ryan gets in and drives away.
Hey, you forgot to give me your Hertz number one gold card!
Ryan drives along slush-covered roads, glancing at a piece of paper in his hand and scanning the streets. He pulls up. Leaving the lights on, Ryan gets out of the car, jogs along a pavement, and walks up to a large suburban townhouse. He rings the doorbell. Ryan steps back, puts his hands in the pockets of his long black coat and tries to act casual. Alex opens the door.
So I was in the neighborhood.
Ryan's cheeky smile quickly fades when he sees two young boys run up the stairs behind Alex. Mortified, Alex stares at Ryan. He slowly backs away.
Hey, honey, who's at the door?
It's just somebody who's lost.
She shuts the door. Ryan turns and goes. In a hotel room, he sits staring out of the window into the night. He sips a large whiskey. Thank you. Ryan's solitary figure is framed by one of a row of tall windows in the nondescript hotel block. Next day, Ryan arrives at the airport. He drags his case through the busy terminal building. He swipes his card at the self-service check-in and takes the shuttle train to his gate. He perches on the edge of a seat, looking morose. Alex calls him from her car.
Alex?
What were you thinking, showing up at my door like that?
What do you mean? I wanted to see you. I didn't know you had a family. Why wouldn't you tell me that?
Look, I'm sorry I ruined your evening, but I mean, you could have seriously screwed things up for me. That's my family. That's my real life.
Ryan looks tearful.
I thought I was a part of your real life.
I thought we signed up for the same thing.
Try and help me understand exactly what it is that you signed up for.
I thought our relationship was perfectly clear. I mean, you are an escape. You're a break from our normal lives. You're a parenthesis.
I'm a parenthesis.
I mean, what do you want? Tell me what you want.
Tears well up in Ryan's eyes.
You don't even know what you want.
I'm a grown-up, okay? So...
if you would like to see me again, then give me a call. Okay?
Ryan opens his mouth as if he's about to speak, but instead he shuts his eyes and hangs up. He looks deeply hurt. On his flight, Ryan sits staring into space.
Gentlemen, we have a special announcement to make. Our pilot has just informed me that we are passing over the city of Dubuque, which might not mean much to most of you, but means a lot to one of our flyers today.
Oh, no.
Because he just hit 10 million miles!
A stewardess hands Ryan a glass of champagne.
Congratulations!
Such an amazing accomplishment.
You must be very, very excited.
No.
Well, Captain.
Got seat taken?
No.
The uniformed captain with a craggy face and a moustache sits beside Ryan, who frowns awkwardly.
You're the youngest yet to hit 10 mil. Don't know where you found the time.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
A card with Ryan Bingham, number 7, on it.
Here you go.
Ryan takes it.
7th card we've made. Small club.
Ryan stares at the shiny silver card.
We really appreciate your loyalty.
You know how many times I thought about this moment? Played out the conversation that you and I would have right here.
Really? What did you want to say?
Ryan stares off, thoughtfully.
You know, I don't remember.
They both smile.
That's all right. It happened to all of us. Where are you from?
Ryan turns away and looks down.
I'm from here.
In his office at CTC, Ryan toys with the Lifetime Executive Platinum card. He picks up the phone and dials the number on the back of the card. He frowns.
How'd you know it was me?
This is your dedicated line. We reserve them for our most loyal and appreciated flyers.
I'd like to transfer some of my miles. Can I open up an account to Jim and Julie Miller?
Certainly. How many miles would you like to transfer?
How many miles does it take to circle the globe?
We have our around the world tickets. They're 500,000 miles each.
I think that'd be fine.
Got a second?
I'll call you back.
Well, happened to you yesterday. I was trying to get a hold of you all day.
Personal stuff. What's going on?
You remember Karen Barnes? Part of a 30-person reduction a few weeks back in Wichita. Natalie fired her.
fire dozens of people a day.
She killed herself, jumped off a bridge.
Ryan looks down.
Fuck.
I need to know if you remember any woman that gave you any signals. Depression.
They're all depressed. We're firing them.
Hey, I need to ask you this stuff, okay?
No, I don't remember anything. You never think that they're...
You don't remember any woman that gave you any signals? Anything at all, Ryan?
No, nothing stands out.
Ryan looks Craig in the eye.
Is Natalie all right?
Natalie quit.
At an airport, she rides a moving walkway.
She quit?
Text message. Yeah, fucking nice, right? No one's got any manners anymore.
She say where she was going?
No, just a little upset.
Why'd you give her a call?
Craig smiles confidently.
I need you back in the air.
Ryan doesn't look at him.
Hey, did you hear what I said? I thought you'd be thrilled about that.
No, oh, it's fine. What about the video conferencing?
CTC is going to pause the new media front. You know, they're going to give it some more thought. We are going to get our workhorses back in the air doing what they do best, okay?
How long are you sending me out?
We're going to let you sail and sail. You send us a postcard if you ever get there.
Craig goes. Ryan looks down, a troubled frown etched across his brow. San Francisco, set against the azure ocean. In an office, a manager looks at Natalie's resume.
So, what happened?
She smiles.
How exactly do you mean?
You graduated top of your class. You seem to have your pick of employment, including right here. Instead, you went to Omaha to fire people for a living?
She holds her smile.
It's challenging work.
I'll say. I can't imagine doing that day in, day out. Not in this climate.
Her smile fades.
I followed a boy.
Well, I guess everybody does that at one point or another.
He picks up a letter and holds it up. It's on CTC notepaper.
This guy says I'd be lucky to have you.
Ryan writes.
To whom it may concern. I can't even count the number of people I've fired in my lifetime. So many that I've actually forgotten what it's like to hire somebody. We've never met, but... I know you'd be lucky to have Natalie Keener. My advice? Take her and don't look back. She'll be the best decision you've made in a long time.
Natalie smiles, slightly embarrassed.
Sure hope he's right.
The manager holds out his hand. Natalie stands sharply, shakes it, and smiles. Ryan's small, neat apartment. In offices, former employees are interviewed.
Well, I don't have a lot of hope. And I really don't know when it's going to get better. There's a lot of people unemployed. And I really don't know when there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel.
I can't find much to talk about. I'm talking about being proud. I'm proud of my kids.
I think the anger comes from the fact that I just wasn't needed anymore.
I would say, you know, without my friends and my family, I wouldn't have made it.
It would have been a lot tougher if I would have had to make it on my own.
When I wake up in the morning and I look over and I see my wife, that gives me the sense of purpose.
It's not all about the money. Money can keep you warm, pays your heating bills, can buy you a blanket. But it's not as doesn't keep you as warm as when my husband holds me.
Let me get up. Let me get out. Let me find something. So my kids are my purpose. My family.
A pair of doors slides open, and Ryan walks into the airport terminal. Smartly suited and pulling his wheelie case along behind him, he walks up to the arrival departure board. As people come and go, Ryan stands staring at the various destinations on the board. He releases his grip on the handle of his suitcase. Sadness is etched across his face.
Tonight, most people will be welcomed home by jumping dogs and squealing kids. Their spouses will ask about their day, and tonight they'll sleep. The stars will wheel forth from their daytime hiding places. And one of those lights, slightly brighter than the rest, will be my wingtip passing over.
A thick blanket of fluffy clouds slowly passes. ITFC audio description by Matthew Vickers.